Well, good morning, and I need to learn how to write from the center of the word to both ends so that my words that I put on the board would be maybe centered, and I probably should have wrote a little bigger. But the word I put on the board is empower. So I'd like to talk about being empowered today with the help of the Lord. Would like for us to turn our minds to what it's like to be empowered. I'd like to begin in Genesis, the 13th chapter, and the account here is where Abraham and Lot were, there was conflict between their servants, and Abraham felt like that it was best that they would separate. So he empowered Lot to make a decision and actually to choose what he wanted. So that's kind of a point I want to build on. I'd like to begin and just read verse 9 here in chapter 13 of Genesis. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So, we have many things in our life where we are... There's a decision that has to be made. There's something that has to be resolved, maybe, and it involves more than one person. And we will have someone will be empowered to make a final decision today, or any day. That is, if a couple, a husband and a wife, or maybe a group. Maybe all of us would say, let's all go to have a meal together. Well, the next decision is, where are you going to go? And we might all say, well, you know, you either have two groups of people. You know, one that everyone's highly opinionated, or a group where no one has an opinion. And we might go around, it seems like... Someone asked me, and I said, "Well, I don't really care. I really don't. Why don't you choose? What are you hungry for?" So what we do when we say that is we empower someone else to make the decision, and then if they make a decision, there's repercussion, there's consequences. You know, if you say, "Well, I'd like to." This is real, okay? This is not imaginary. If I say, well, I don't really care, where would you like to go? And you say, well, I'd like to go, let's go to that Thai place. I'm probably going to say, I wished I hadn't have told them to make up for them to choose. I probably would have wished that I would have gave a little bit more parameters. You can choose as long as it's not a Thai place. All right. So I'm just wanting us to think about the impact that empowering others or others empowering us, how it has an impact on everyone. And we know that Lot made a choice because the land looked so desirable. He made a choice to not only choose the area that he did, but he began to cultivate an inclination, and I think he moved his campsite a little closer and a little closer and a little closer to what we know ended up being his destruction, a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. So as he moved closer to that place, this was a repercussion. It was a consequence of him being empowered to make that decision. And empowerment gives us the opportunity to choose, but it also gives us the sense of responsibility for whatever that choice is. I believe that children can be handicapped by not empowering them to ever make any choice, and we can handicap our children to where when they do get on their own, they don't know how to make any choice. And I believe we can handicap them by empowering them too early. We can set them up for failure. If you take a child that's maybe adolescent or pre-adolescent, and you empower them with a budget to buy their own clothes, and it's their decision, whatever they choose, you know, there may be a level of benefit in that, but I'm going to tell you, you might be setting them up for failure. You might be setting them up for a bad experience for you and them. Okay? In business, partners can empower one another, and they can either be or they cannot empower one another, and it can be either an asset or a hindrance. There's a place to empower others, and there's a place to not do that. So I wonder sometimes if Abraham, how old was Lot? He was old enough, he should have been able to make a good decision. That's he had his own household and all, and it seemed like he was empowered to make that choice, and yet he went down a path that was not very good. I'd like to turn to St. John, the second chapter now, and notice a detail about being empowered that maybe sometimes we don't realize, maybe we look over it. I'd like to look in John, the second chapter, and it's a story that we all are very familiar with. We'll begin in verse 1. He says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." And as I've thought about this setting, I've wondered, was there some relation there? Or was this a, was it someone that Jesus' mother had been close to? Or was it just a community event that everyone was invited? Or I don't know. He says, "And there was a, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." So this is probably, according to some commentators, this is probably before all 12 of his disciples had been chosen, but there were some. So they thought maybe 4 or 5 of them. It says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine." So it appears that Jesus' mother was in the loop of, you know, today sometimes we have a wedding coordinator. I don't know if that's what Mary was doing. I don't know if she was an aunt of the bride or the groom. I don't know all the details, but for some reason she felt a responsibility for them not having enough of the wine to drink. And you know where I'm coming from, but I believe this was not wine to be intoxicated by. This was wine that was fresh juice, or as non-fermented as possible in the day and age that they live. So she came to Jesus and says, "They have no wine." And Jesus saith unto her, verse 4, "Woman, what have I to do with this? Mine hour is not yet come." And his mother saith unto to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So what did she just do? I believe that Jesus' mother just empowered him to perform a miracle. Did the power to do the miracle come from his mother? No, it didn't. But she had saw some indications. You know, we can see indications in others. You know, we might use the phrase, they're acting responsible. They look like someone that we can depend on. So the next step needs to be to capitalize on that and empower those people, whoever they are. They might be a family member, and they might be a child. They might be a coworker. And when you look on and you see that they have a propensity, an inclination of understanding, an indication that they would be able to help facilitate something. And when you come and say, we're going to put this person in charge. That's what she did. She came and talked to him. I believe it was a private little conversation. And maybe the servants had come to her and said, we're out. We don't have any more. And she had said, maybe she said, wait just a minute. Let me go talk to Jesus. And maybe she went and took him to the side and said, look, they've run out of wine. And he said, what was his response? Why are you telling this to me? My hour is not yet come. And so, but she had this, she was his mother, right? Who knows us better than our mother? And she had seen these inclinations of him having compassion, of his abilities. I don't know. One place I read a little bit was that, had she seen him do something before this? We don't know. This is the first miracle we have recorded in the scripture. But, you know, there was something. She knew that he was the Son of God. She had that. And here was an opportunity for these things that she had maybe witnessed that was developing. I don't know what caused her to do this, but she did. She empowered Jesus. She said, there's a need here. You know, many we call it stepping up to the plate sometimes when there's a need, and maybe it's something that I can't do, but I know somebody that probably could do it. And I go to them and I'd say, hey, you know, we have a need over here. And you're the most likely person that could help us with this. So what we know was the end result. Jesus was empowered by his mother, and ultimately we have the account of his first miracle in the scripture. That was the end result. That was the consequence. That was the benefit of empowering him during that time. So I want us to realize that empowering others many times includes the point of recognizing that there are abilities in someone else. And there's values there. And empowering means that we're giving or suggesting to them that they would assume a specific responsibility. Somebody that seems to be courteous, and someone that gets along well with their coworkers, sometimes, or really, they ought to be the ones that's empowered to maybe move to a position of interacting with customers. And I'm talking about in business. You remember in Psalms 127, I believe it is. Let's turn there real quick because this comes to my mind. I believe it's Psalms 127. And it talks about a man having his quiver full of children. And down at the end of that, he says, "Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." What happened there? They were empowered because of their behavior and because of how they had conducted themselves and how they had responded to instruction. They had been empowered to speak with the enemies in the gate. And I want us here as a congregation, I want you young men and young ladies here in the congregation, I want you to feel empowered, because the load to face the enemy is not just for me. It's for you all too. I want you all to begin to feel it's not just for the old ones, but for the younger ones to feel, I can. I have their approval. I have their acceptance. I have their encouragement. I want to be able to address the things that come against the cause of God. I want you to be empowered. So I'd like to go on a little bit further and go to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and notice a place where Jesus, this was earlier on, maybe you would say, in his ministries after they were 12 disciples. Matthew chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 5. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. And go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have given, have received, freely give." So they were empowered, wasn't they? When you say, tell someone, here, you take this and go with it. I want you to take, and here's the parameters, don't go to the Gentiles and don't go to the Samaritans. This Jesus later told them to go into all the world, but here he told them specifically, go to the lost house of Israel. That's who the call originally was to the Jews. And so he said here, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not just coming, it's now. And he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So what happens when somebody gives you a credit card and says, I want whatever it is to happen. I want you to have brisket and baked beans and potato salad and whatever. I want you to have it here for everybody for lunch. Here's the card. Make it happen. What happened? You just got empowered to do that. And Jesus gave his disciples, he empowered them with authority to not only preach the gospel, but to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to administer those healing touches. And do you remember how they come back? They came back rejoicing. They came back giving an account of all the things that had been accomplished because they were empowered. So, marvelous, I want to say, if not magnificent things can happen from being empowered. I am challenged today to not try to keep things just to myself, spiritually, temporally. I don't want to be guilty of not empowering others. And I want that to be passed on. I want you to be willing to empower others to be successful. Empower others to have understanding. To empower others to be able to have a viable connection with God. And, you know, that's one of the limitations of false religion is to cause everybody to go through one person instead of empowering them to get a hold of God for themselves. That is the most powerful thing that we can ever tell someone, is you need a relationship with God for yourself. That is being empowered. Every empowerment that we have been given or has been, we have given to someone else, it's a vote of confidence like Mary gave to Jesus. But there's a weight of responsibility at the same time. Jesus felt some level of obligation when his mother came with a serious need. I feel a level of obligation when my wife comes to me, when my children come to me, when someone in the congregation comes to me and says, I have a need. I feel a level of responsibility. I feel a level of responsibility that I don't feel when it's someone that I have no connection with. I'm just talking on a personal level here. So a vote of confidence in many times is what empowerment is. So we empower others by giving them keys and passwords and positions of leadership and resources. We empower people to prosperity. We empower people to spiritual progress. I'd like to look now in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and notice this is what was happening in the parable of the talents. In 25 of Matthew, in verse 14 beginning, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He called his servants in and gave him them resources. And he said, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So he just empowered them. We many times like to think of this talent as being an amount of money, and it quite possibly was. And this man gave his servants these different amounts, and we know by reading the story in the past, we know that they all responded a little differently. One of them that got 5 obviously applied himself and felt empowered and put it in the man that was traveling had a good perception of his developing abilities, and he empowered the right person. He empowered the one that he gave 2 talents to, and he tried to empower the one he gave 1 talent to. But the one he gave 1 talent to didn't do anything with it. It didn't benefit him any. And so You know, sometimes the Lord takes a chance on us. The Lord, and sometimes we take chances, and we empower someone a little bit, maybe not as much as we do someone else, and sometimes they don't do quite as much as we thought we. You know, if they'd have gained some, what if the one that had been given one talent would have only gained a half a talent? Don't you think there'd been a level of reward for that? But he didn't do anything. So I want us to realize when we're empowered, there is a level of responsibility that we're going to be held accountable for. What have we been empowered with? What have I been empowered with? What's the consequences if we don't take that and put it to use? What is going to happen if I take that and don't utilize it like I should have? So I'd like to end this morning in John, the 14th chapter. I'd like to look at what Jesus said to his disciples here in John chapter 14. Beginning in verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Isn't that empowerment? Do you realize what the potential for that is? Jesus has empowered his disciples and those following, those that would believe because they heard, not because they saw it. That follows all the way down to us. And he said, "If ye will ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, if we've been empowered, maybe you have a credit card or a debit card that belongs to somebody else, and maybe they've given it to you and they said, "Make it happen. I want brisket and all of that," whatever I said earlier. Maybe they said, "I want everyone to have a matching shirt. I want everyone to have a cap that matches," or whatever it is. I want you to make it happen. Well, you know, we've been empowered, but we could take that and, well, he wanted us to have it, so wanted us to make this happen. So maybe he meant for me to include that I ought to take my, while I'm going to get everyone a matching shirt with a logo on it, he meant for me to take my wife out to a nice restaurant too. You know, we could get sidetracked with that. You know, you can take the empowerment that Jesus give here and say, "Well, he said, anything I ask in my name, in his name, I'll do it." Well, you know, we could reach a lot more souls if we had a lot more money. So we're just going to have to ask that and believe that Jesus is going to give us a lot more money, a lot more assets. We could ask things amiss, could we not? The scripture even talks about that. So there is, Lot could have chose, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know that I just had conversation with my parents that they said, "We're empowering you now to make your own decision." But we realize, at some point, we realize we've been empowered to make our own decisions. All of you young men and young ladies have, I venture that when you made up your mind that you were going to marry this person that you married, even if your parents didn't like it. They probably said, that's your decision. You're the one that's going to... My grandfather told my mother and all of his children, it's your decision. You make your bed hard, you'll have to lay in it. That's what he said. You know, we have to realize if we're going to make, we're going to say, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, we have to ask in accordance to something that he could put his approval on. We can't ask for prestige and expect him to give it to us. We're setting ourselves up for disappointment. You know, Lot could have said, Abraham, I realize that this would be the wisest choice for me to take this land that's down there towards Sodom and Gomorrah, but, you know, I've got this fear that I won't be able to be as faithful as you would be, and I think that you ought to take that instead. Lot could have done that, but he was empowered to make that decision. I remember in my own life feeling empowered to make a decision, and I was at a vulnerable state in my life, and I almost made a decision that most likely would have impacted me in a negative manner if I'd have followed through. I did make the decision initially, and then I decided, no, I don't think I can do it. I think if I move to that location to go to school, I'm afraid that I won't make it. I felt empowered. I realized I could make that decision, but I came to the place I decided I'm not going to do it. I don't know that I can be. I was afraid for my own well-being. So I backed out on it. And I believe that God honored me for that. And I believe God will honor you every time you say, you know, the Lord give me the right to ask, but I don't think I ought to, I don't think this would be good for me. I want to ask something that would be pleasing to him and would be something that he could really put his blessings on. So I want us this morning, as we consider this little thought, I want us to remember how important it is to empower others and how important it is for us to realize the responsibilities that go along with being empowered. When we marry our spouse, we are empowering each other. We're empowering each other to have control over our emotions. All of us that are husbands, we have a great impact on our wives' emotions. And the reciprocal of this, that is true too. My wife has a great, she's been empowered. She can make my day good or bad really quick. It's just a fact. And we have to realize, you know, there's just so many bad days you can cause your spouse to have before they really get discouraged. But we have empowered one another to have control over our emotions. And we need to realize I'm either making their life miserable or I'm making their life pleasant. What are we doing in our relationships? What are we doing in our responsibilities for the Lord? Am I trying to consume things for myself, or am I being an asset to the kingdom? He's empowered me to ask what's anything that I will. in his name, he said, I'll do it if you ask anything in my name. Well, I think that we have to realize that's not anything our imagination might attach itself to. It needs to be something that God could approve and would approve and will approve. So I want us to be challenged this morning to empower others and thinking about that. There's a song that I'm not going to sing. It's rather difficult to sing. If somebody else feels like you can, that would be fine. But the title of it is Jesus Opened Up the Way. And the verses go like this. Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way to glory when he died to save us from our ruined state, and asked that we shall go tell the world a story how his blood will save them from their awful fate. Second verse says, and the way is marked by the footprints of the Savior. With his blood, he made it. He made it plain and straight. If you walk that way, it will lead you into heaven, lead you safely into glory's golden gate. Sinner, will you come and join in this heavenly journey? Walk the bloody pathway that the Savior trod. Then when life is over and all the sheaves are garnered, you will meet the Savior and be not afraid. It says, the chorus says, Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way, the way to heaven's gate when he died on the cross to redeem the lost. He prepared the road that leads to his abode. 'Tis a road marked by blood, but it leads us home to God. Did you know that Jesus not only paid the way, but he empowered us to be able to live. He left for us an example, and he empowered us to be able to live a victorious life in this world. I want to accept the empowerment, but I want to be fully realizing the responsibility that I have to live in a manner that would receive his approval. You pray for me.